Just ask Satchmo about Bix. He'll say, tell the whole world there'll never be another Bix Biterbeck. He was a born genius, but they crowded him too much with love. This is Bix, a biographical series made possible through a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and produced by Miami University Radio. The busy months of early 1928 found the Whiteman Orchestra frequently in Victor's New York studios. On February 28th, the group recorded Sugar. Frank Powers remarks on the tune.
Sugar is a composition by Maceo Pinkard, who is a composer best remembered for having written Sweet Georgia Brown. There's an interesting thing takes place in this particular recording. Bix plays a trumpet counterpoint solo, you might say, to the tenor saxophone. The tenor saxophone is playing straight melody. This permits Bix to play something entirely different. This permits the Whiteman commercial aspect of giving the public the melody, which is what they want to hear, and at the same time permits Biterbeck the freedom of total improvisation.
spring of 1928, Bix began another series of Bix and His Gang recordings for the OK Company. This time he featured his compatriots out of the Whiteman Band, and they vary considerably in personnel from the Gold Kit compatriots who formed the earlier sessions. In this instance, he still has fine trombone of Bill Rank, but Don Murray's been replaced by a good, competent jazz clarinetist, very underrated, by the name of Izzy Friedman. Min Leebrook, who played tuba with the Wolverines Band, is now back with Bix again, playing bass sax. Tom Satterfield, the arranger, is on piano, and the drummer is Harold McDonald. Now, this recording was made on April 17th of 1928, and the Dixieland formula has been that was so prevalent in the earlier recordings has been abandoned. The sound is more contemporary to what white jazz was in 1928. The overtones of Chicago style are now beginning to infuse themselves into the thinking of the white jazz musicians of this period, and it's very apparent in this recording. So the unified quality of the ensemble that you notice on the earlier records is now diminished considerably, as is the firmness of the rhythm section. Min Leebrook's bass sax work, although interesting, does not have the solidity and harmonic qualities that distinguished the great Adrian Rollini. Tom Satterfield's piano playing, however, is as interesting as his arranging work. And Bill Rank, of course, has continued to mature, but these records do not have the inspiration of the earlier ones.
The band recorded Somebody Stole My Gal on April 4th, 1928. Interviewed between takes of a television special, Bing Crosby remembered the camaraderie of the Whiteman Band.
Those guys were all, we all used to hang around the same pub, you might say, the same bistro. There was one place just off Broadway, I think it was on about 48th, 49th Street, Healy's. There was a saloon, speakeasy, and they had a balcony up above where they had chairs and tables and a piano, and a lot of boys used to do their arranging up there. Hicks and Bill Chalice and Bargy and Perella, Fud Livingston. With all the racket going on, they could still work out arrangements for record dates. They were doing a lot of recording, and all the boys, for small companies, some of them for big companies. They made a lot of instrumental records in that period that had nothing to do with Whiteman. And I think they were, I don't think they were exclusive with Whiteman. They could record for some of the small companies like Grey Gull and OK and some of those other labels. I can't remember them all now.
You Took Advantage of Me is a Richard Rodgers pop tune, and it's one of the last tunes recorded by the Whiteman Band featuring Bix before the termination of the Victor contract. After this time, the Whiteman Band recorded for Columbia. The record is most noticeable because of the beautiful, what we call a chase chorus, between the muted cornet of Bix Beiderbecke and the C melody saxophone of Frank Trumbauer, where these two people of such similar styles answer each other in a good-humored conversation of jazz. This is followed by a marvelous vocal by Bing Crosby. The number was arranged again by Bill Chalice. But I think there's one thing to note about this record, fine as it is for the performances of the people involved, is that the rhythm section is not the free, loose, relatively swinging in terms of that time quality the Goldkette Band possessed. This rhythm section is the Paul Whiteman rhythm section, with the bass note stated very definitely on the first and third beat, with the piano and chords chiming in on the second and fourth beat, giving a sort of ponderous seesaw effect at times to the rhythm section. Certainly this was one of the jazz qualities that the Whiteman Band lacked, not being a jazz organization or a jazz-oriented organization such as the Goldkette Band was.
I'm just like an apple on a bough, and you're gonna shake me down somehow. So what's the use? You cook my goose, 'cause you took advantage of me. I'm so hot and bothered that I don't know my elbow from my ear. Suffer something awful each time you go, much worse when you're near. Here I am with all my bridges burned, just a baby in arms where you're concerned. So lock the doors and call me, 'cause you took advantage of me.
Bill Challis, who did a large amount of arranging for Whiteman, speculates on whether Bix enjoyed working with the organization. Could Bix cope with the frustration of working in a commercial situation?
He enjoyed, yes, I think he did. He certainly enjoyed the records we did. Now, whether he enjoyed the, as I say, we come into now the routine work, which is second, third, or fourth trumpet player, have to become accustomed to if there are four parts there, and he probably got the third or the fourth part, the least important, until he had to play his solos. Now you had to have those marked, when to come in, when not to come in, you know, just this is radio studio and like backgrounds for pictures and things like that. That's a routine that you have to get used to. I have to say that if I were in the same position, I wouldn't like it either. He's got to sit up there with the trumpet, and what's more natural for him to maybe have a drink or something like that, you know, especially when they all get off the stand. He only has to sit up there to be seen. Or, well, if they're going to play a couple of dance numbers, you know, which were part of the our latest record, and he was in on it, then you have to sit there all night waiting for that one or two spots, waiting for those two spots, let's say. And that could be very frustrating. It's very frustrating working with a band that had to move around and had to play with only the appreciation of the dancers, who put their appreciation, let's say, in their feet. You could go plenty of places, and the dancers might like the band if you keep the right tempo. But it's whether or not the guy sitting next to you or the guy sitting in back of you, he's playing his part in the arrangement, his part in the band. You might wow him, you know, with a chorus or so, or you might get excited enough to, from those guys, their enthusiasm, to show off some of your improvisation.
The entire Paul Whiteman Orchestra moved from a contract with Victor to a new one for Columbia. May 21st, 1928 found them recording "Tain't So, Honey, Tain't So."
"Tain't So, Honey, Tain't So" is a composition of Willard Robinson, the composer of such fine old popular songs as "Old Folks" and "Cottage for Sale." He was a confidant of Jack Teagarden, a Texas pianist, and his tunes have a certain quality which is nice for Bix, I suppose you might say. And on "Tain't So, Honey, Tain't So," Bix has several short solos in this number, but most notable, I think, is the one he plays near the end of the recording on the verse, which is sung earlier in the recording by Bing Crosby. A certain Middle Western melancholy. There's a certain melancholy about Willard Robinson's music, and it's most apparent on the verse, that is, the introductory 16 bars to this number. Bix takes this portion as one of his choruses, the one played with an open horn near the end of the recording. You will notice the Frank Drumbar bassoon chorus, a very unusual feature of that period, indicative of his experimental inclinations.
"Hey people, you should come to Arkansas. Meet a friend of mine, old Aunt Phoebe Law. She's known to everyone for miles around. She will help you when friends forsake you and troubles bear you down. For those who come her way are blessed when they hear her say, 'Tain't so, honey, tain't so.' Spoke to the Lord and the Lord said, 'No, tain't so, honey, tain't so.
Tain't so, honey, tain't so. Tomorrow will bring something good, I know, tain't so. I mean, it just ain't so. Makes no difference what your problem may be. Just look up, brother, and I'm sure you will see. Tain't so, honey, tain't so. The devil said yes, but the Lord said no. Tain't so, honey, tain't so.
The contract with Columbia put heavy pressure on Paul Whiteman. The company greatly limited Whiteman's freedom in choosing material. He was told to hold to commercially successful arrangements. This restriction affected Whiteman, and it also affected Bix.
Charles Waring and George Garlick have commented in their book, Bugles for Beiderbecke, a very fine biography of Bix Beiderbecke, that at the time the Victor recording contract terminated and the Columbia contract began, that certain pressures had been brought to bear. Those were the pressures of continual change of material. That is to say, the Whiteman Band was now doing a regular weekly radio show. New arrangements were demanded to be prepared and read, and somehow or other the jazz content suffers somewhat. And the consistency of the Columbia recordings, as far as their permitting freedom to Beiderbecke, is somewhat more limited than the Victor's had been. You could almost say that throughout Bix's career, from the time he started playing, that the more successful he became, the more restrained he was by the commercial considerations of the orchestra which he might be appearing at that time. In other words, the total complete freedom of the Wolverines, the swinging but reading Gold Cat Band, then eventually the Whiteman Victor Orchestra, which permitted him within their commercial framework a certain freedom, and then a continual development of the limitations, to the extent that by the time that the Columbia sessions were underway, Bix's solos become a bit more rare, even sometimes possibly a bit more restrained, and the opportunities more limited for him as a musician.
In spite of personal frustrations, Bix reached a peak of financial success with Whiteman. He was earning $300 a week in salary, plus extra money for each recording session. This is Bix, a biographical series made possible through a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Consultants for the series were John Steiner, along with Joseph Campbell and Philip Evans. Commentary was recorded by Frank Powers. Continuity was written by Mary Kay Fulton. Audio engineer, Michael J. McGuire. Bix was researched, produced, and directed by Jim Grover. This is Bill Utter speaking for Miami University Radio. Way down on Borneo Bay.
Limited rights for this rebroadcast of Bix on WMKV 89.3 FM Cincinnati were given by WMUB-FM, Miami University Broadcasting in Oxford, Ohio, courtesy of WMUB-FM General Manager Cleve Callison. WMUB-FM originally produced the program for broadcast in 1971. Any rebroadcast, internet streaming, or archiving of this program by anyone other than WMKV is prohibited. WMKV would like to thank the original producer of the program, Jim Grover, for his vision and efforts to preserve this unique chapter in the history of jazz, authored by Bix, and Mr. Bill Utter, Director Emeritus of Miami University Broadcasting, who conceived the original program idea, narrated the original series, and has been instrumental in making this rebroadcast possible. Dave Bartholomew, volunteer and host of the WMKV weekly program Friction, deserves special thanks for his labor of love in remastering Bix. The advisory group that oversaw the project to rebroadcast Bix include Frank Powers, commentator on the original series, Dave Bartholomew, Bill Utter, Cleve Collison, WMUB General Manager, Dave Schramm, WMKV Coordinator of Online Services, Mike Farrar, WMKV Coordinator of Production Services, Joe Schooner, WMKV Intern from the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music, Media Division, and Alan Vyosky, WMKV General Manager. Please stay tuned for the best in big band era music right here on WMKV, the way radio was meant to be.